Parshas Bahar, Book of Kesai. I'd like to focus on a very, very interesting nakuda that is triggered by a pshat in Ksav Sefer that has a theme through this week's parasha, in particular the halachas of Shmita and Yovel and Tzedakah and Ribbis. And also, I think it's relevant primarily today in these times where everybody is being careful to give tzedakah to, where they are attempting to make sure that they give tzedakah in the right places, how they should be dealing with the tzedakah when there's less financial ability to do so, how the Torah expects us to make sure that we look after the aniyim. Okay, so the parasha begins in Parshas Bahar as an introduction to the parasha of Shmita. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and at Har Sinai. Now, you all know, obviously, that there's been a long gap since you talked about Har Sinai. The last time I talked about Har Sinai was Parshas Mishpatim. What the Torah talk describes to us, the whole events of Nasa V'Nishma. Yeah, it's been a long time back since Har Sinai. And suddenly over here, Har Sinai pops up. You're right, it's a couple of weeks before Shavuos. But what is it, what significance is it that Har Sinai dafka comes, that we mentioned Har Sinai over here? So Rashi already, one of the most famous questions of Rashi, Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai? Why is it that we have a din of shmita next to Har Sinai? What is the idea that Torah gives us that when we talk about shmita we have Har Sinai there? Says Rashi, V'halakol mitzvahs nemar misinai, every mitzvah said at Sinai. Elo, ma shmita nemru klaliseho v'diktukeho misinai, just like by shmita, all the ins and outs, the details, and the principles were said at Sinai. Af kulon, so to everyone, every mitzvah nemru klaliseho v'diktukeho misinai. All the diktukim and the klalim were said at Sinai. So, we're saying over here, that why do we say a Har Sinai by shmita? To learn a principle, that just like by Har Sinai, just like by Shmita, all the diktukim, all the ins and outs were said at Sinai, so too every other mitzvah you should learn from Shmita, that also all the other details were said at Sinai. But you'd say in Gemara terms, Ikka chosa min ha-sefer. There's a main part that's missing from the question. Fine, we're going to learn from here that Shmita is the mitzvah that teaches us that every detail of Shmita was said at Sinai, so to every other mitzvah, every detail was said at Sinai. Fine. So that's what we're telling you. So they're telling us that Sinai, we're telling the halacha that at Sinai, every single halacha of Shmita was said at Sinai, and from there we learn every other mitzvah. But the main question is, why does the Torah tell us that mitzvah as the prime paradigm example to teach us that from here we learn that every mitzvah said at Sinai? Fine. So every mitzvah has in common that every single diktuk was said at Sinai, and we learn that from when it says Har Sinai next to Shmita. But why does the Torah choose to use Shmita as the example to tell us this? We could have said this halacha by Kiddush Hashem, by the halacha of Shluach HaKein, by the mitzvah of Kibbud Aveim. Yeah? That every mitzvah said at Sinai. Why do we use Shmita as an example to teach us, Shmita said at Sinai, so to all other mitzvahs as well? What's the idea behind this? So the Ksav Sefer has a few different terutzim. One is the idea of Shmita is a concept of Nasiv and Nishma, that you have to give up your whole Emunah B'tochen to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's said at Sinai. Okay, but there's another beautiful pshat he has, and he says that this, you know, you all know the Gemara, that Iger came to Hillel, Hazokin, and he said to him, Hillel, or Rev Hillel, or Rebbe, give me the entire Torah on 1 foot. And the Gemara says that Hillel said to him, V'haftar reichol kumayichol, zeh klal godla b'Torah, and all the rest is detail. So there's a few interesting concepts one has to take into account when one learns through this Gemara. First of all, what's this ger doing? You know, when you're a ger, you don't antagonize the beis din. You come and show how worthwhile you are, and how easygoing you're going to be when it comes to the Rabbonim, and you're going to follow everything. You don't come along to the God Lador and say, tell me the whole Torah on 1 foot. Imagine going to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and saying to him, you know, I want to become a Ger, tell me the whole Torah on 1 foot. Stand up on 1 foot. What's the concept, what's the idea behind what this guy is doing? Why is Hillel so patient with him? I mean, Hillel was very patient, fine. You know, but why does he answer him, which sounds a little bit over-friendly, perhaps. It sounds even, perhaps, a little bit Christian. You know, it's all about be nice to your friend. It isn't. Let's face it. There's Mechira Samolik, yeah, which is inside the Torah too. Yeah, there's halachos of basav v'cholov, which has nothing to do with haftarei achol kamoicha, necessarily. There's hilchos Shabbos. Yeah, there's hilchos Yom Kippur. What's it going to do with haftarei achol kamoicha and everything else in detail? It really isn't the case. It's not just say this mitzvah and everything else is fine. What's the idea behind this? Exactly. What's with all the ben adam lamakoings? How does that work? Exactly. Answer the Ksav Sefer. The pshat is like this. The ger is coming with a real shaila to Hillel. Rebbe, I am supposed to take on 613 mitzvahs. I look through a Torah, 613 mitzvahs. And when I sign on a dotted line to become a ger, I have got to accept upon myself all these 613 mitzvahs. How is that possible? How am I supposed to keep 613 mitzvahs? I'm a ger. And if I'm a ger, by definition, I'm not a kohen. And if I'm not a kohen, I can't do mitzvahs that a kohen does. And therefore, all those many, many mitzvahs a Torah does, which are many, many, many mitzvahs, I can't do. So how can I say when I'm coming as a ger, I am going to fulfill 630 mitzvahs? I'm not. I'm a liar. And a kohen can't keep mitzvahs that I have. And a levi can't keep mitzvahs that Yisrael has. And an oni can't keep mitzvahs that an osher has. An osher and an oni. So how is it possible that one can commit to 630 mitzvahs, but in essence, it's impossible? When in essence, we're all, by definition, different. We all have obligations, or different obligations. How can I fulfill all the 630 mitzvahs? That is what he's asking to Hillel. Tell me, Rebbe, how can I on one foot, how can one as one unit keep all 630 mitzvahs? Said to him, Hillel, v'haftol re'achol kamoicho, which means that if you commit to joining in and becoming one unit of the rest of Klal Yisrael, then we become one body, we become one nation, we become one person. And just because I may be the Kohen and you may be the Levi, you may be a Ger, it doesn't take away from us as one unit keeping all the mitzvahs. We as one unit keep all the mitzvahs. But that is Toila, that depends upon the unity that we have. You know, when a person eats a meal, you know, he doesn't expect the thanks from his toes. Because it's one body. You know, the mouth is supporting the mouth and everything else. When you are keeping a mitzvah and you are a kohen, you're helping the Yisrael. And Yisrael is helping the kohen. We're all one unit. And therefore the ger asks, how can keep 630 mitzvahs? We're all separate. And the hill is said back to him, v'hafta re'achol kamoicha. When we're all together as one, as a unit, we keep 630 mitzvahs. What's it got to do with Har Sinai? What's it got to do with Shemitah? Exactly. It was the first time in history since the Jews became a population. Besides, after Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, after the Shvatim, there was absolute unity amongst every single one of Klal Yisrael. V'yichen Shom Yisrael neged Ahor, ki ish echod v'leiv echod. They became under the mountain like a single unit. And because they came to Har Sinai like a single unit, as one individual, that is how the Torah could possibly be given to them. Because if it wouldn't be one unit, then none of the Klal Yisrael by themselves could keep the 630 mitzvahs, and therefore none of them is going and obligating himself with the entire Torah, and therefore they can't accept the Torah unless you commit to everything. It's all or nothing. And therefore, the Yichon Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, so Har Sinai represented unity. Har Sinai represented the ability to give Torah to a huge majority of people, because at the end of the day they are a single individual unit. They'll keep the Torah together. Shemitah has the same idea. Shemitah is a time where v'haftar echol kamoicha is not a fuzzy concept. It's not something that you read in the Torah and you think, oh, what a nice idea. It's something you have to practice. And you have to practice in times when times are tough, when there's not so much food around, when there's not so much you don't see your storehouse stuffed with food, and somebody comes along and starts taking from your field. You don't say a word. You let him completely trample all over your field. You give him back the loans, that you cancel all the loans that's owing to you. Yeah, with Yovel, with all the ideas of sending out avod and giving back karakois. These are stuff that's not easy. And when you care for somebody else in the difficult times, That is showing that is showing that you're caring about that individual because you care about him as if he is yourself. He is you. You're one big unit. And therefore, Shemitah is the idea which gives us the concept of Cholat Torah Kula, that just like by Shemitah, it is the idea of Ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha, that we are one unit. That is learnt by when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, that we're also one unit, and that is the only way we can join. To be one is the only way we can keep the Torah. So that is how Shemitah is the idea of Ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha, as being one unit connected to Har Sinai, which had to be one unit, and that is why it's Shemitah in particular that is connected to Har Sinai. Okay? But this is, again, this is a very nice concept. Ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha is a very, very nice concept. It's something we believe in. You know, no Jew will say, I don't believe in Ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha, love your fellow Jew. Nobody. But practically, how does one fulfill the mitzvah? So I want to go through a few dinim in this week's parasha that bring out the obligations one has, and in the particular order of those obligations. If you look later on in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk, Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Chof Hei. Ki yomuch ochicha, if your brother becomes poor, umocha me achuzosoi, and he sells his achuzah, his land that he was entitled to in Eretz Yisrael. Ubo goyal loy hakorev elov, and the goyal, the person who is close to him, comes, for gol es mimkar ochiv. And he shall go along and redeem the mimkar, that was sold of his brother. In other words, a family member comes along, and he buys back what his family member sold as his, what belonged to him. Says the next post, Apostle Chavov, V'ish ki lo yeh loy goyal, and if a man has no goyal, and next possible continuation. In other words, if a person has no goyal, says Rashi, v'ish ki lo yeh loy goyal, the Gemara says in Kedushin, v'chi yesh l'cha odom v'yisrael sh'ein loy goyalim. Is there any Jew who has no relatives? Is there any Jew who has no relatives? He may not have a brother, he may not have a sister, he may not have a child, he may not have parents, but he has a cousin, or a second cousin, or a third cousin, or a fifth cousin, he must have some relative who is considered him to a goyal. So what does he mean? Ve'ish ki lo yeh loy goyal. A man who has no goyal. Says Rashi, el a goyal sheyochel ligoyal mimkori. It's referring to, if he has no goyal, it's referring to a goyal who cannot afford to pay and save him and to buy back his property for him. Okay? So he has a goyal, he has a relative, but the relative can't help him. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Dorosh Moshe, if that's peshat in the posuk, like the Gemara is saying, why does the Pasuk just say, and if it has a goyal who can't afford it, then do X, Y, Z, like the Pasuk says? Why say he has no goyal when in fact it means he has a goyal who can't afford, who can't help him? Yeah? The Pasuk says he has no goyal. He has a goyal, the goyal just can't help him. So why say he has no goyal? The Rashi has to come to explain, he really has a goyal, just can't help him. Says Rav Moshe, and I read out what the words he says. V'nira, Shuhulo Heirois, it seems he's come to teach us. Shekoroiv, she'enoi misanyen b'matzov eishol kroivoi lehetivloi. That a relative who is not there, who does not care to do any good for his relative, nechshav ke'enoi kroivoi. The Torah reckons it as if he is not his relative. K'nite kol hashtaychus im kroivoi. He has disconnected any relationship with his koroiv. What the Pasuk is saying over here, now, of course he may have a relative, but a relative who does not come to help, who does not exert himself to stick his neck out and look the way to help his relative, as far as the Torah is concerned, there is no further relationship. You have a broken relationship. You cannot expect to be considered a brother, or considered a cousin or a relative, if when your relative comes running to you for help, you say, I'm very sorry, I can't help you. You're not a relative. Ish ki lo yeh loy goyal. If you can't help him, you should know, as far as we are concerned, you're not a relative. The first place a person has an obligation to give is to go to a relative. And a relative has an obligation to help. And if it doesn't help, the Torah says, you're not considered a relative.
But the Rashi says he can't. I mean, But he doesn't want to.
If there's a will, there's a way. So go along and find that different relative. Sort him out. Help him. Help him. If he was yourself, you'd work something out. Help him. Do whatever you can to help him. And if you can't help him, as far as we're concerned, it's not. In other words, Ramesha adds a little bit more. He says that that's you're putting pressure on the Korev to do more than just saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You're putting more as far as seeing how the Torah responds to your saying, I can't help. And also with regard to that there's a pressure. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you can't help me, you're not a relative. Yeah? And therefore, that's putting extra pressure on a relative. Interestingly enough, does anyone remember where else it says Loshen of Ki Ein Lo Goyel?
In this parasha?
No. Please. In Parshas Bamidbar, in Perek Hay, thank you. In Perek Hay, it also talks about a person who has no Goyel. No, pardon, Parshas Nosoi, sorry. It talks about a person who stole something, and he denied that he stole and made a Shavuah, that he's got to bring a Korban, and he's got to bring back the principal amount and add a Chaymesh. V'me'ein la'ish Goyel la'hoshiv ha'osham, says a Pasuk in Perek Hay, Pasuk Ches. If the man has no Goyel to return the item to, in other words, the person who you wanted to give back the item to, the guy, the person who was you stole from is no longer alive. So you look for a goyel, look for a relative. If he has no relative, then you give it to the kohen. Says Rashi over here, Vim ein ish goyel, says Rashi, Shemeis hatevea, shishpia ve'ein lo yorshim. So what says Rashi? For Amar Rabbi saying the chigeshacha odem b'sol she'ein lo goyelin. Is it such a person who has no relatives? Oy ben, oy bas, oy ach, oy shah, bosa hakor mishpachas oviv l'malad Yaakov. El ozeh hager. This is referring to a ger. Shemeis that died ve'ein lo yorshim. If a ger has no children, after he was megayer, after he converted, then this convert has no relative. So the pasuk over here says ve'ein le'ish goyel is referring to a ger. Asks Oznaim Latoira, asks Rav Zalman Sirotskin, why when it says in our pasuk ve'ein le'ish goyel is referring to a person who has relatives but just don't want to help, and when it says ve'ein le'ish goyel over here Parshas Nosoi, it's not referring to a person who has relatives, it's talking about a ger who has no relatives at all. Explains, yeah, the Zalman Sirotskin, very simple. In our Parshas Bahar is talking about when the person is asking for help. He's asking his Korav for help. And when he's asking the Korav for help, then he has a Korav, but the Korav is not interested in being his Korav, like Ramosha says. But in Parshas Nosoi, what we're talking about this Goyal, what's this Goyal going to be doing? To be receiving money. He's going to be receiving back the payment of lost items. Then you're going to find a pakrochener korov. You're going to find a 18th cousin 23 times removed. You're going to come along and say, I'm a korov. I'm the one. Yeah, there you're going to find the korov. And therefore, the positive of him, Eile Ishkoyel. Nobody steps forward ever. There's got to be a ger. It's a typical vav from Zayim Torah. Yeah? No, it's very simple. It's very simple. When it comes to giving, you don't answer his phone. When it comes to taking, you come to the chasnas and you sit down there and you join in the simcha. That is not a goyel. A goyel is somebody, a korov is somebody in times of need. You know, in English you say a friend in need is a friend indeed, or a friend in need is a pain in the neck. But whatever it is, a friend in need, a korov in need is a person you have to help. And if you don't help him, ain the ish goyel, you're not a relative. When it comes to taking, suddenly everyone's a relative. Okay. Yeah, exactly. The Pasuk says in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Lamed Hei. So first of all, we said a relative comes first. Next Pasuk. V'chi yomuch ochicha umoto yodoi imoch. And if your friend becomes poor, umoto yodoi imoch. Umoto yodoi imoch. How do you translate the word umoto yodoi imoch? I'll say he stretches his hand out to you. Would that be fair?
Imach will be like,
with you. Okay? So what's Peshat? The Poshet is a bit strev. V'chiyomach l'chicho mota yodoy l'cha. What's Imach? Yeah? And he... Mota yodoy Imach. Also, what's this mota yodoy? It seems a little bit poetic. V'chiyomach l'chicho v'chzakta boy. Yeah? When your friend, when your brother becomes poor, strengthen him. What's v'chiyomach l'chicho umota yodoy Imach? The mota yodoy, and stretches his hand out. And Imach seems to be a little bit screaming out, Darshani, translate me. What's going on over here? So over here, again, the Zayma Torah says a beautiful pshat. He says that there's so many good causes today in the world. There's so many good causes. You go to any shul, you're bombarded with different leaflets of different needs and different tragic situations. And there are never Klal Yisrael, Tzorchi Amcha Yisrael Merubin. There's a lot of big needs. No, but when we have an obligation to give to Kupa Te'ir, or to Vada Rabbonim, or the local Kupa, what should we do? On one hand, we have all the big Segulas, and I'm not in any way dissing them that these exist, but just, we have the local Kupa, which we don't seem to hear that much about. What are we supposed to do? Says the Pasuk, Aniye Ircha Koidmin. Says the Pasuk, V'chiyomo Chachicha. When umata yodoy, umata yodoy means his hand reaches out. In other words, the first person that you know about, a person who is on your doorstep, somebody who's umata yodoy that you can actually have a relationship with, you know. And I was once the chairman of the Kuppershild Stocker evening, and I introduced the chairman of the Kuppershild Stocker. And one would expect, as a fundraising event, there's a lot of people there, there's almost 1,000 people there, that he would say, Rabosai, Kuppershild Stocker is your address, make sure you give us the money. He didn't say that. He said, Rabosai, you all know who needs money. You've got a neighbour, you've got a friend, you've got somebody living next door to you, two doors away, he needs money, give him the money, don't give it to us. If you don't know who to give the money to, then give it to us. Somebody who you have a relationship with, somebody you know what's going on, umota yodoy, his hand is, that is who you should be giving to. But it's hard to give to somebody else. It's very difficult. End of the day, it's my money, giving it to you. It's very difficult. It's hard to do such a thing. So on that, the Zayin Torah says, there's an Apostle Kiparshas Mishpatim. And it says, Im kesef talve es ami, es ha'oni imoch. If you lend money to somebody else, es ha'oni imoch. What's es ha'oni imoch? What's the word imoch mean? So he translates like this. Im kesef talve es ami, if you have enough money to start lending other people more than you need for your own needs, you should just know, es ha'oni imoch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the oni's money in your purse as well. It means you have in your wallet now not only your money, but you have the money that belongs to the oni as well, and therefore you're obligated to give the oni what he is entitled to because it's in your purse. In other words, imagine that you have a clerk in the bank, and somebody comes to the bank and he says to the clerk, I'd like to withdraw, please, 500 shekel. And the guy says, I'm not feeling in a generous mood today. What are you talking about? It's my money. How dare you? It's not a way of asking an osher for money. But what you have to understand, osher's got to understand, that esa oni imoch means with you is the oni's money. You are holding in your wallet the money that belongs to the oni. Therefore, don't hold it back, because if you do hold it back, like this clerk will be fired eventually, you, gvir, you, osher, you, wealthy man, will be fired from your job of looking after the oni because you're not doing what you should be doing. So that's Peshat over here. V'chiyomu chachicha umota yodoy. Somebody you have a close relation to with, imoch. You have to understand that he is with you. His money is in your rishus. You're obligated to look after him. The question really is, though, how does one know who's genuine and who isn't? You know, you hear a lot of stories about a person who pretends to be this and is really that, and he takes people's money away. How do I know when somebody comes and asks me money what I should do? Now, I want to make very clear what I'm saying as follows. By no means am I saying, before I get into the vault, by no means am I saying blindly give money to anyone who asks. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is there is a limit to the hishtadlus a person's got to make sure the person is genuine. You're not mechuyev to, you know, spend and research him and you know, speak to this person, speak to that person. If the person looks genuine and he seems genuine and you've looked into it and there's no reason for you to doubt anything, with a reasonable doubt, then this vault applies. There's a very, very beautiful vault with regard to Hilchos Shmita, and we'll see how this applies to Hilchos Tzedakah. The Pasuk says in Perek Chafet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that if you do the mitzvah of Shmita and Yovel correctly, V'nosna ha'aretz piria, the land will give out fruit, V'achaltem l'soiva, and you'll eat to be satisfied, V'yishavtem l'vetach aleha, and you'll dwell in security on it. So here basically the Torah is telling us you have nothing to worry about if you keep Shmita. Pasuk Chof says, V'chisoyim ruman lo'icha b'shona ha'shviyis, if a person may say, what will I eat in the seventh year? Heilu nizrav l'nesavet v'raseinu, I didn't plant, I didn't harvest. Says Pasuk Chof Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, V'tzivisi es b'rchosi l'chem b'shona ha'shishis, I will command my blessing in the sixth year, V'oso esatvua l'sholish ha'shonim, and he'll make tvua for 3 years. Says Rav Moshe and Rav Eli Lapian the same thing. What happens if there's no v'chisoimru? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will give you enough whatever you need. A person asks v'chisoimru, and what happens if you say, what will I have? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give you tevuah for 3 years. What happens if a person wasn't v'chisoimru? A person didn't ask questions, what happens then? What's that?
It'll be a regular crop, it'll just last
years. So they say this is a famous vault, it's really bought, it's the Makoros from the Sephorna. Look in the Sephorna, really says this. What's going to happen over here is, if you don't ask any questions, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I promise you'll be okay. But how will I be okay? I've got one Tevuah, I've got one harvest, they're supposed to last me for 3 years, but they usually last for 1 year. The Teretz is, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will make a nes, that oichel kimo, v'nisparach meyov. You'll eat a little bit, and you'll be satisfied. You know, today you have badin. Badin is like a washing softener, yeah, clothes softener. And you have the little bottles, and you have the big, regular size bottles. You have the concentrate, and you have the big bottles, right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you have a little bottle. Little bottle, and you'll be satisfied with a little bottle for the 3 years. But if you're not satisfied with that, said the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm scared, I don't know what's going to be, I don't have that much emunah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what, if that's the case, I will give you 3 times the amount of tevuah in order to make sure you're not that scared. But you're going to have 3 times the amount of work, 3 times the amount of storage, and it's going to cost you. The question of the chisoyim is going to cost you. I'll give you enough, but now you're going to have a big bottle of badin to schlep home with you now. You're going to have, not the concentrate, you're going to go back with a big bottle, and that is going to really be quite heavy for you. If that's what you want, I'll give it to you. But without the v'chisoimru, you would have it in a concentrated amount. Now you're going to ship back this big bottle back with you. That's Rav Moshe, that's the Sephorna, that's Rav Eliot, that's Peshat over here. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works midah k'neged midah. You don't ask any questions, I'll give you everything you need. You start asking questions, I'll answer you, but it'll cost you. There's a story with the Tzanzer Rav. The Tzanzer Rav used to have a little, like a guest house. And the guests, the poor people used to come in who didn't have food, he used to put in front of them breads, he used to put in front of them food and drink, but they can come in and eat whatever they needed. There was one time that Oni came in, he was ripped clothes, and he started collecting all the breads. He started really getting more Hamish than generally would be expected. So the Tzanzer Rav, Rav Chaim Tzanzer, went to him and said to him, where are you from? What's his story? And this, you know, you're a young man, try and work, you know, and try not to take so much. This Avreich was very, very upset. And he said, I've seen how many other people have come in here, and you haven't cared about whether they take or not, and me you're picking on. And he ran out, he was very, very upset. And Chaim Tzanzer was upset that he upset him, and he called him back, and he sat him on the top of the table next to him, which was a very, very, very big cupboard, and he gave him a very large amount. He gave him 30 pieces of keser, 30 silver pieces, which is a very, very large amount of money. So his son, Reb Chaim's son, Reb Chaim had a few sons, one was the Geritzer, one was the Shinova. But the Geritzer The Gaon Megel, it said to Reb Chaim, I don't understand why you gave him so much money. You could have given him a much smaller amount of money and he would have been happy with that. So he said, I'll tell you a story that happened with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Rebbe Reb Zusha was a very, very, very poor man. And he had a growing family. He lived in a little tumble-down house in the middle of the forest. And he said, come into town to do his work. And a particular lady spotted Reb Zusha. And nobody knew who Reb Zusha was at that time. And her husband was an innkeeper. And who had money. And she gave Reb Zusha a zwanziger, a 20, whatever it is, a ruble coin or note, and that's what she gave him. And every week she'd find Reb Zusha in the same place and she'd give him a zwanziger. And from that time on, from the time she started giving the zwanziger, this amount of money to Reb Zusha, her husband's business took off. Miraculously, it took off to way beyond anyone's expectations. And the husband, as a Yirei Shemayim, began to look into himself, what chus was it that he was zoicha, he was worthy of getting such incredible, outstanding success? So he asked his wife what she thinks. As a good wife, she cut him down to size, and she said to him, I don't think you take any credit for this. You should just know, I give a zwanziger every week to a person called Zusha. He's an old Yid, he's an old schlepper, and I give him every week a zwanziger. And since then, I've seen with my own eyes how things have turned around. So he said, wow, if that's the case, I want even more success. Maybe I should invite him in with his family to live in my couple of rooms in my inn. Okay, fantastic. So went to Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha, thank you very much. Now I can, I don't have to let my children suffer, my wife suffer. And he moved in to the inn, and that time again began to soar. Properties, the people came in there, unbelievable. He started making incredible success. One day, a particular Maggid, he says here the name of the Maggid, I prefer not to say who the name of the Maggid was, he came to the innkeeper and he said, Who's this schlepper outside there? So he said, that's Reb Zusha the Butlin. Something called Reb Zusha the Butlin. Reb Zusha doesn't know very much, Reb Zusha the Butlin. He said, what's he here for? He said, you should know, my wife started giving him a zwanziger every week, and since then I saw how my business did so well, and from then I invited him into my house, and I've been doing so well. So this market said, to a Butlin you give that money to? To a Butlin? Ah! I'll tell you a big Talmud Chochem you can give your money to. I can tell you somebody else is going to come to town soon. You take him in, he is a real Talmud Chochem. You take him in, you'll do it unbelievably. Fine. This innkeeper doesn't know any Chochmas. And he goes to Reb Zusha and says, this is Reb Zusha, in a couple of weeks' time you'll have to leave, I'm afraid. There's somebody coming from abroad who's a big Talmud Chochem. And, you have to leave. Fine. What can you do? Reb Zusha packs his few things up and he leaves the house. And this other Maggid, this other Talmud Chochem moves in. And from that time on, wherever Reb Zusha went, Talmidim flocked to him and he became famous. And this man's business started to deteriorate very, very, very quickly. And his wife started berating him. It's because he threw out Reb Zusha. What are you going to do about this? It's terrible. Go to Reb Zusha. Go to ask him for forgiveness. The man goes to Reb Zusha and he says, Rebbe, Heilige Rebbe, I never realized who you were. I'm really sorry about this. You've got to be moichel me. So Rebbe said, I could do nothing about this, I'm sorry. He said, no, be moichel me, say you're moichel, and you can do something, I can't do anything about this. He said, what do you mean you can't do anything about it? I can't help you. He said, what do you mean you can't help me? He said, very simple. In Shemayim, one always works midda keneged midda. Until now, you didn't look into who I was. You thought I was a butler. And because you weren't particular who you're giving your money to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't particular who he was giving his money to either. And therefore you gave it to somebody who's considered a butlin, but you're happy to give it to him. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave somebody who was a butlin to, that's you. But once you start identifying, looking into, is this person really fitting or not, Kodesh Baruch Hu does exactly the same. And because you did that, Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that you weren't fitting and took away all your panosa. He brings, Reb Zusha said, that's Peshat in the Pasuk. Valdik, a Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah Novi asked Kodesh Baruch Hu, in Yirmiyah Yudches, He says, "V'yu muchsholim lefnecha be'es ofcha ese behem." What does that mean? The Gemara says, "Bava kama omer yirmi lefnecha kodesh baruch hu." Afilu b'shah shemavakshim nasi stoker. Even when Klalish want to do the stoker, hechshilom ba'anoshim she'enu muhoganim. Make them fall in for people who are not—they're not worthy to give to. So Mezusha asks, how can Yirmiyahu HaNavi curse Klal Yisrael that in the stage where they want to do something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them people not worthy of taking? What's Peshat? Yirmiyahu HaNavi, what's he doing to Klal Yisrael? Says Mezusha, no, that this is a bracha, that Klal Yisrael should give money even to those people who may not be that worthy. By doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do midah k'neged midah and give them even if they aren't worthy. The idea of tzedakah is not being so particular. Looking, and obviously you don't have to give to, you know, the Islamic Federation of Invalids, yeah? Or the Nazi League of you know, you've got no way to give a charity to, yeah? But you have to, if a person comes along and they look like they need help, you don't have to be medaktik with it. You don't have to give them all your money. But you don't be medaktik, and Kosh Baruch Hu medaktik with you either. So that's where Kosh Baruch Hu works, midah k'neged midah. I just want to finish off with one very, very powerful vort. From the Zion of Torah. By the end of all the mitzvahs of Yovel and Shmita, this is a very, very beautiful, powerful vort. This is one of my favorite from the Zion of Torah, and I have quite a few. Perek Chofei Posu Yud Ches. Listen, you have to look in this carefully. Do you have it there? Perek Chofei Posu Yud Ches. Va'asisem eschu koisai. This is a vort worthwhile putting down. Va'asisem eschu koisai. You shall do my chukim. Okay. So when it comes to chukosim, when it comes to chukim, it says va'asisem, you should do them. Carries on the pasuk, ve'es mishpotai, and my mishpotim, tishmeru, guard them, va'asisem, oisem, and do them. In other words, when it comes to chukim, it just says va'asisem, just do them. When it comes to mishpotim, it says va'asisem, and also it says tishmeru, you should guard them. Now, what are the chukim, and what are the mishpotim that we're referring to over here? So chukim are those things that are Ben Odom Lamokim. Ben Odom Lamokim. The chukim are referring to over here, the chukim of Shemitah, not doing work in your field. That's between you and the Rebbein Shleilam. If a person does work in the field, he has a problem with the Rebbein Shleilam. That's a din Ben Odom Lamokim. Okay? That's a chukim. Mishpotim are those things that are a mishpot. You can bring to Beistin over. Right? In other words, this is a din Ben Odom Lachaveri. What dinim are there? In Shemitah ben Adam lechaveroi, making all your things hefka. The person wants to take from your field in lockup, the guy has a claim against you. Right? It's hefka. If you start claiming your debts from a person that you had before Shemitah, that's a mishpah. You can say, I'm not mechuyav to pay you. Right? So therefore, the chukim over here are between ben Adam lemokoi, and the mishpatim are between ben Adam lechaveroi. Now let's understand. What is more difficult for a person to keep, a chok or a mishpot? A chok is not something we understand. It's not something we can put our intellect around. And yet when it comes to a chok, we just say va'asisem. And when it comes to a mishpot, we say tishmur va'asisem oisom. What's peshat in this? Says Zalman Sorotskin, I tell you, I've noticed this myself and I've always had this question. He says, sometimes there are people who come to me and ask Shaila, so go to a Rav and ask a Shaila, a farmer, he has a Shaila about a cow, whether the cow is kosher or treif. Why? The Sheikh shechted it and found a problem with the lung. And the Talmud Chochem, the Rav, looks at it and he says, I'm very sorry, mister, bad news for you, this cow is a treifer. Nothing I could do about it, it's a treifer. I'm very sorry, there's nothing you can do, you have to get rid of it, make it for dog meat. And he's lost a huge amount of money. And he says, Rabbi, I accept it. It's all min hashamayim. Thank you very much. Goyach. And he walks outside. He said, this same person can come a few weeks later, I'm just making it a little bit stronger, with an argument about him and his neighbor over a chicken. His neighbor claims that this man owes him a chicken for whatever reason. And this man claims, no wait, do I owe you a chicken. And there's a heated debate going on over here between the two Balei Din. Between the two, yeah, the claimant and the other. And there's witnesses, and there's Dayanim, and eventually the Dayanim Paskin, that this man is obligated to pay his neighbor a chicken. And he curses out the witnesses, He curses out the other guy. He curses out the Dayonim. He storms out of Beis Din. He has to pay. But he's furious. He never forgives anybody involved in this story at all. Ask Zalman Sirotsky. I don't understand. When it comes to a cow that was worth many, many hundreds, it was okay, fine, understand, accept it. When it comes to a little chicken, he's all furious. What's going on? So he said, Peshat is must be like this. A person doesn't really that mind paying money. It's not the paying money that hurts me. It's my friend getting the money. That is what upsets me. My friend getting money upsets me more than me losing money. That's what upsets me. Says a pasuk over here, when it comes to a chok, when it comes to ben adam lamokoi, just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you need is va'asisem. You should do it. But when it comes to mishpatim, when it comes to between me and my friend, and he's going to gain at my expense, then not only does, even though it makes sense to me, still, tishmur va'asisem. I've got to do it, and I've got to make sure I do it, and I've got to guard it, I've got to work much harder. So Zalman Sroskin says, a chok, a difficult chok, when it comes to ben odom lamokoim, is easier to do than an easy mishpat ben odom lechaveroi. That is human nature. And this is what the parasha is telling us. Don't do that. Be a Bahar. Learn from Har Sinai that the only way to accept the Torah is to become one unit, to become one nation. To learn from Shmita, to care about other people in a time of need. When a relative asks you for help, don't turn your back on him because then you're not a relative. Don't join in relatives. Don't become all together when there's a family simcha. You know, when it comes to getting a gezela back, oh, here I am. No, be there when he needs your help. Look after those people who are closest to you. Kimota yodoi. Remember imoch. Remember that at the end of the day, you have the other person's money in your pocket. Help him. Remember as well that there's a concept over here of midah keneged midah. The way you look into other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look into you. Remember there's a story, I think it was a Beis Yisrael. Somebody once came to the Beis Yisrael and told him a whole sob story. That his wife is ill and he lost his job and his daughter is getting married and his son Nebuch is in jail. You know, and he gave him a lot of money. And the guy saw how much money he gave him. This man left the room and said, Rebbe, why are you giving him so much? He says, his wife is ill. His wife is ill? Your wife's not ill. She's standing outside. She's perfectly fine. Oh, Baruch Hashem, his wife's not ill. He told me he hasn't got a job. He hasn't got a job. He's got three jobs. He's got three jobs. I tell you exactly what jobs. Ah, Baruch Hashem got three jobs. Ah, thank you, Rebbe Yishlaim. He's got a daughter, he needs to get married, he's got married off all his daughters, no problem. He's got a son who's in jail, though Hovland doesn't even have a son. Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. So Mishat is, he felt he did what he had to do, he gave it tzedakah, and that's it, he wasn't eyeing too much. A person works in the Midah Keneged Midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with us Midah Keneged Midah. And finally, when it comes to an Adam Lechaveroi, it's sometimes very difficult that the other person should get, certainly on my expense. And that's what Torah says, Vasisim Mois, make sure we do it, and Be'ez Hashem, Be'ish Echel, Be'lev Echel, go towards Har Sinai, Chazak, Chazak, Ben Nis Chazek.